Good afternoon. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing. And we meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, which is just opposite the police station on Dumbarton Road. Go up the hill there. We're beside Thornwood Primary School. We're the local church. We're out doing some open-air work here. We want to seek to introduce you to the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because today, sadly, there is great ignorance regarding Christ and Christianity. And we want to use this great and good day the Lord has given to us to go out and to speak concerning our Savior. You know, many people look upon God in a negative light, and many people run away from any thought or any conversation about God. But really, that is somewhat, what we would say, maybe ridiculous, because one day you're going to meet God. One day you're going to meet the one who made you and formed you. And you must know this, that God is a pardoning God. Yes, God is a God who hates sin and who will deal with it. There's no question about that. We cannot change that in any way. God will not tolerate sin. He is intolerant towards sin. But the Bible also makes it clear to us that God is one who is willing to forgive the penitent. That is, the sinner who recognizes his sin. He is willing to forgive if we will come to him upon his terms. There is a verse, a very good verse in Micah, the Old Testament, chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. That is the God of the Bible. He delights in mercy. He delights to forgive. He delights to be reconciled to lost sinners. And he has shown how much he is prepared to delight in mercy by doing something about our great plight. What did he do? What is our plight? What is our problem? Our problem is we are sinners. And it's a real problem, because God is not. In fact, God is holy. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. That's the God of the Bible. It's not the God of your imagination. It's not the God of the people of this world today. It's the God of the Bible. And God has revealed himself in the Bible. And we must take all our knowledge concerning God from his own word. And there in that word, he does tell us, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. Yet, he's one who delights in mercy. There's a contrast there. But he's able to delight in mercy because he has done something about our problem. He has done something about mankind's sin. What has he done? He has punished someone in our room and in our place. And because God is just, he cannot demand payment twice. Therefore, if my sins have been punished upon Christ, then he cannot punish me. It's impossible. God is just. Let's put it in a way that every one of us can understand. Let's put it in this way. If you owed £100 to a shopkeeper and you couldn't pay it, but someone came along and paid that £100 on your behalf, then the shopkeeper has no case against you. You are clear. The debt has been cleared. Someone else has paid it. and you are a free person. That's what happened, simply speaking, regarding what Christ has done. We have sinned. We have broken God's law. We do it every day. There are no exceptions, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. We're all like sheep, we've all gone astray. But God in His wisdom has worked out a way whereby He can forgive sinners. He has punished His Son instead. That's what happened on the cross. That's what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what made Him cry out that day on the cross. My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? There the Son of God was, in some real sense, forsaken by the Father. Why was He forsaken? He was forsaken because He became sin for us. And when God looked upon His Son, He was looking upon a Son who had taken upon Himself our sin. And He was being punished in our place. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. That is the God of the Bible. That is the God with whom we have to do with. And that is the God who has sent forth His Son to die in the place of sinners. Now, we might not like this, but as far as God is concerned and as far as the Bible is concerned, we are sinners. What is a sinner? Sinner is someone who has broken God's law or not kept God's law. We all need saved, my dear. We all do. Or as our catechism would tell us, sin is any want of or conformity unto the law of God. God who has made us, God who has sovereignty over us, has given us a law. And none of us have obeyed that law. We have broken it. Every one of them. There are 10 commandments. And these commandments are written in your heart. And when you do something wrong, your conscience will trouble you. When you lie, your conscience will trouble you. Why is that so? Because God has put His law into your very constitution. What happens when you steal something? If you steal something, your conscience will trouble you. Why is it so? It is so because God has made it that way, that His law is in you and He's given you a conscience to guide you concerning what is right and what is wrong. And therefore we know we have broken God's law. And that is one reason why we run away from God. That's one reason why we never go to the house of God, where we never worship Him, where we never read His word, when we never call upon Him in prayer. We are, in some sense, afraid of Him. We're like our first parents. When Adam sinned and Eve sinned, what happened? They went and hid themselves from God. Before that, they had time with God. They were, in some sense, intimate with God. But the moment they sinned, they hid themselves. And that's very often the way that we are. We hide ourselves from Him. Why do we do it? Because of our sin. But we must know that God is a pardoning God. And we see that in His Son, in the giving of His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. And therefore, we want to encourage you this afternoon to seek the Lord. to turn to Him, to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what's required in order that we might be saved. This is what's required in order that our sins might be forgiven. And it's vitally important that our sins are forgiven. I cannot forgive your sins. You cannot forgive my sins. No priest or minister or cardinal or bishop or archbishop or pope or Muhammad or Confucius or any other person or religion can forgive your sins and get you right with God. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Only He has power on earth and power in heaven to forgive sin. Why is this? Because He's the one who has gone to the cross and He suffered and died in the room and place of sinners in order that He might save sinners. And that's why you must seek the Lord Jesus Christ. You must have a relationship with Him. That's why it tells us in the book of Isaiah, read it in the Bible for yourself, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and verse 7, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. There we see that wide and full and free gospel invitation. Seek the Lord. Come and seek the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, it will not be in vain. And it tells the wicked to forsake his way. What's he talking about here? He's talking about repentance. Another good old-fashioned Christian word. What is it, repentance? What does it mean? It means to turn from your sins. It doesn't mean simply to be sorry for them. You know, the murderer in the jailhouse may be sorry for his sin. He's sorry for his sin because he's been found out and he's been put to prison. And because of that, he's sorry. But that's not repentance. Repentance means to turn away from your sins. That's what's required. And therefore, we're to stop our lying. We're to stop our cheating. We're to stop our adultery. We're to stop our fornication. We're to stop our stealing. We're to stop our Sabbath breaking. We're to stop our idolatry. We're to turn from these sins and seek the Lord. That's how Jesus began his public ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that message is applicable to us today. Repent from our old lives. Many of us have to repent over our attitude towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us are maybe happy to speak about a God, but when we speak about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, then our hackles get up. We don't like to speak about this person. We don't like to speak about his work. We don't like to be told that we need to have him to save us. And if he does not save us, we will not be saved. That's his unique role. He is the only Savior. For salvation is found in none other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. That's what the apostles went and preached when they preached Jesus and the resurrection, and they turned the world upside down with that message. And the religious leaders of the day wanted them to stop speaking about the Lord Jesus, and they wouldn't, because they said, salvation is found in none other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's the person you must have dealings with. It's no use going to a minister. It's no use turning religious.
Exactly.
You must turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must seek Him while He may be found. Call upon His name. Maybe you're wondering to yourself, it's all very well talking about the Lord Jesus. And it's all very well telling me that I must have dealings with Him. But what if I go to the Lord Jesus? What encouragement is there for me to go to Him? Will He look upon me? There are billions of people in this world. Will He look upon me, an individual, walking about Partick and Glasgow this afternoon? Has the Lord Jesus Christ got an eye towards me? You can be sure He has. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. And therefore, friends, here we have someone who was steeped in religion, who was up to his neck as a Pharisee, and he thought he was righteous, and he thought he was right with God, and he went about persecuting Christians and the Christian cause, and he was on his way to Damascus in order that he might arrest Christians because he thought he was doing God's work. And one day he met the Lord Jesus. He was converted. He was transformed. He was made a new man. He received new life. And this is what he says. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. He recognized that he was the chief of sinners. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ, in some sense, reached down to him and plucked him up from the mire and saved him and transformed him and made him a herald and a preacher of the gospel. He was probably the greatest preacher this world has ever had. And he went all around, wherever he could, declaring the unsearchable riches of Christ. And he recognized that he was the chief of sinners. And therefore, there is encouragement and there is hope for every single one of us. None of us has sinned away our opportunity. The gospel has been proclaimed to you this afternoon. You are told about a Savior. You're told about this one who has come down from heaven, who has left the realms of glory. You have been told about this individual who did everything that is required of him in order to save sinners. He went to the cross. He suffered. Nails were put through his hands and feet, and a sword was put through his side. His life was taken from him. He offered up himself as a sacrifice to satisfy the just demands of God's holy and inflexible law. And he was able to cry moments before he died, "It is finished. It is finished. I've done all that's required of me." And that's why we're here this afternoon, to tell you about this person and to tell you that you must come to him and you must have your faith rooted and grounded upon him and upon what he has done. Because the Apostle Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world after Zacchaeus was converted. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we need to realize and we need to humbly accept the Bible's verdict upon your life and upon my life. If we are without Christ, we're lost. That's our current position. That's our current state. If we do not have Christ as our Lord and Savior, this is God's verdict upon your life. You're lost. And you need to be saved. And the only way to be saved is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Going to church, taking up religion, going to mass, doing good works, doing charitable things. These things are good in of themselves, but they will never take us to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Prove it. Yes, easily done, sir. He himself went to the grave. He went to the grave. And what happened on the third day? He rose victorious over the grave. Yes, we can trust the words of the Lord Jesus. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away, he says. And how true that is. How true. Go to the Bible. You'll find that not a word of God drops to the ground. It's all true. It's like God himself. He cannot lie. He cannot change. He cannot sin. He's not a man. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And the very fact that there is a Christian church today worldwide would surely tell us that Christ is alive and well. You know, he suffered, he died, he was buried, he was put into a sealed tomb, a borrowed tomb, but I can't take you to that tomb today. Why not? Because he's not in the tomb. He's not in it. He arose. Here's the unique thing concerning Christianity. We're telling you about a person who did suffer, who did die, who was buried, but who's now risen and alive. The Son of God who became the Son of Man. And what's more, the Bible would tell us, friends, that one day the Lord Jesus shall return. No one can possibly deny that Christ came 2,000 years ago. The Bible's clear about this. He fulfilled many, many prophecies when he came. And although we put no clout upon secular historians, yet many secular historians will tell us there was a person called Jesus who lived around 2,000 years ago. But this same Jesus who suffered and died and rose again returned to heaven. But he said he will return, he will come back. And the Bible tells us that day will come, and it will be a terrible day for the unbelieving world. What does it say? Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and even those that pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He will come one day, friends. We can laugh if we like, but you'll stand before him. He will come in the power and the glory of his Father and of the holy angels. He will sit upon a great white throne, and you and I shall stand before him. And on that day, your thoughts, my words, your words, my deeds, your deeds, we will give account before King Jesus. And that one that I proclaim to you this afternoon, a Savior, will one day be your judge. And that's why it's vitally important that you hear about this individual and that you come to him. You make peace with God through him today. Why? Because this is the day of salvation. This is the day of grace. This is a time when we might say humanly, God has extended grace and mercy and favor to wicked mankind. He says to us all today, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Avail yourselves of that salvation that's found in him today. Receive full, free, complete salvation. Have all your sins forgiven today by coming to the Lord Jesus. Because one day, friend, we'll all stand before King Jesus. The Bible tells us, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We all know there's going to be a day of judgment. We have that sense of judgment within our hearts. We know that one day things that were wrong will be put right. You have that sense of that day of judgment in your heart. God has made that there. He has put that there. It's part of His image. It's part of His stamp that He has put upon us. And another thing, I don't have to prove to you today the reality of God. You know that God exists. You know. Creation there is a wonderful sermon that preaches to you 24 hours of the day, 7 days of the week, 365 days of the year. Creation tells us there's a Creator. And you know that. And what's more, God has revealed Himself to you inwardly, in your conscience. You have a sense of right and wrong. Where did you get that sense from? It's part of God's testimony. It's part of God's witness to you. So that the Bible tells you, you are without excuse. God has revealed Himself without in creation. And God has revealed Himself within in your conscience. You know God. The problem is, you don't want to know God. And the knowledge you have disturbs you. It rattles you. Why? Because you know, you are accountable to God. You have that sense of judgment. He has made you. He has formed you. He has given you His law. You have broken His law. And you have a guilty conscience. But friends, I want to address that guilty conscience. And I want to tell you how you can have this guilty conscience cleansed and removed. And that you can have a peaceful conscience. How can you have it? You can only have it through Jesus Christ. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father. No man cometh to heaven. No man cometh to peace. No man cometh to blessedness or happiness unless they come through the Lord Jesus Christ. What's it going to be then, friend? What's it going to be? Are you going to carry on in your unbelief? Or are you going to resist? Are you going to continue to resist? Or are you going to stop rebelling? Are you going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you going to accept the terms of salvation? God will not change them for you or I.